Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 8 through 14. Ephesians chapter 5. And beginning at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Kind of recognize that language in the Apostle Paul. Ye were, but now. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Well, the believer here, of course, being called light, is a very important figure in regard to the new life of the regenerate. The regenerate, of course, have come into a wondrous new condition, a new state of existence, a new realm by being created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the work of regeneration as we are created anew in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this light, ye who were sometimes darkness, now being light in the Lord, connects us immediately, of course, with the one who is the light supreme. We are light in the Lord. He is the light. Ye are light. He is the light. We are, through Christ, sons and daughters of God. He is the Son of God. He is the eternal Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is not simply one who has light. He says, I am the light. And that's a far different thing from having light, isn't it? We have light if we're in Christ. He is the light. He says, I am the light of the world. He that believeth in me shall not abide in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He is the light of the believer. This light of life is all in association then with our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that whatever, in any degree, whatever degree, whatever small degree, anything moves us from Christ, that's just as far as the darkness is going to come, right? He is the light. He is the eternal light. And so the Lord Jesus is the source of light. He is the light itself. And in following Him in truth is both the knowledge of salvation and the means of living out this life that we have by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never met a saint who doesn't love Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If the Lord is the light, if the Lord is my salvation, light and salvation being synonymous there, what sense does it make that we walk in fear? Whom shall we fear? We could even say, what shall we fear? Even the believer is delivered from the fear of death. Right? That doesn't mean you're not going to have fear in dying. That means the fear of death itself. Because what can death do as regards our relationship to our Lord? Can it separate us? Nope. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? So we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us, and that includes even death. Even death itself, among those things listed, that would be listed as our enemies, but He's defeated our enemies. And even as regards the body, He's going to take care of that enemy too as well, right? Death that comes to the body. So, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The walk, then, of course, biblically, walk has to do with the way you outlive your life. It's the way you conduct yourself in the world. And the walk, then, of this new life of light in the Lord comes only in a beholding of Christ and the inward illumination of Him through His Word. You see, you can learn the Bible. You can learn what the Bible means. You can hold to the grand truth that the Scriptures are given to us verbally, that is, word for word, inspired of God, plenarily, in the whole and all of their parts. But if you don't see the purpose of the Scripture, if they don't bring the light that lightens the light to your soul, then you haven't really read them aright. You haven't understood them aright. Because the Scriptures are given as a testimony to our Lord. He's greater than the Scriptures. This is the Word of God that teaches us of Him. They are they, He says, which testify of Me. We have this blessed truth. It is glorious truth. It's spiritual in our souls because the light of God's Word illumines us to the living incarnate Word, doesn't it? It's all connected together. You have one without the other, you have nothing. If our gospel be hid, the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shine unto them. And that glory of God, of course, in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You have to get beyond the light to see the light. You have to have the light to see the light. And the Lord is the light. I am the light of the world. Therefore, we have the precious truth of God that illumines us to Him. To that light, everything therein brings us to Him, does it not? Everything in the Old Testament points forward to Him, doesn't it? Everything points forward to Him. So that, in a sense, the Scriptures come out of Him to us. Everything regards Him. But we have to come to know Him. We have to come to behold Him. And He's our living Lord. And God gives us His precious and holy and inspired Word because it brings us to the knowledge of Him. It removes the darkness through the work of the Holy Spirit and grants us to behold God Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the revelation that God has given us of Christ Himself. That's why the Scriptures are so important. They testify of Him. And apart from Him, there is no life. But we have to know the living Lord. We have to come to trust in the living One Himself, the One who died and rose again. And so we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, if we are light in the Lord and we're to walk as children of light, then we have to be looking to Christ. And the Word that God has given us becomes the lamp to our feet and the light to our path, so that we see Him. And if we don't see Him, we don't know how to walk, right? Your sight, your heart has to be upon Him. You have to be looking unto Him and seeing Him and walking with Him. Everything that unfolds as far as the practice of true Christianity comes because we follow Him. I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so even in this chapter 5 of Ephesians, if we're going to walk in the way He commands us to love one another, how are we going to do that? How did He command us to love one another? As I have loved you. Isn't that huge? We have all the knowledge we want. Theoretically, or any other way. But unless we have Him, unless He is in our sight, unless He is the law of our new living, we're not going to walk in that way. So if we walk in the light, it's because we behold Him. It's because He who said, love one another as I have loved you, is before us. So even here we have that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love. How? As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. You see, we're to walk as children of light, right? And if you can walk as children of light, then you're going to have to behold the light. Who is the light? Christ is the light. How do you behold the light? Through the light that God has given that comes forth from Him in His Word. The Scriptures, they are they which testify of me. We learn of Him. We learn of the Lord Jesus spiritually and morally. Just as light is contrasted with darkness, so those without Christ have no light of life. No light of life. None. They're in darkness. Thus, no source of true walking in the will of God. Knowing His will. To begin with, just as we've seen in this passage, yes, we have the Lord Jesus who gives us His Word. We have the truth that we are to obey by faith as we look to Him. But He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is... there's no better way to say it that I know of. He is our living law. He is our living law. We follow Him. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So He's got to always be before us, right? I've set the Lord always before me. That's the way it's got to be. We look to Him. We behold Him. We see Him. He's the one who has our hearts. His truth, His Word, illumines us always to Christ. If we are seeing it aright, it's always in regard to Him, correct? If we don't see Him, we need to keep praying and seeking the Lord to open the truth to us or to see how it relates to Him. All of it bears its relationship to our Lord. All of it. And He's center, circumference. He's height, depth, length, breadth. He's all of it. He's all and in all. So that we are to behold Him. We are to look to Him. He is the light. He's the wondrous light to our souls. Even in the dark night of Calvary, does the light come forth to us? Even shining through the darkness of Calvary, the greatest of light comes to us through Christ. What a wondrous thing. We rejoice in the wondrousness when we behold the reason He took the cross. I'm talking about walking in love. The Apostle Paul, that's what overwhelmed his soul, transformed his whole manner of living, because Christ loved me, and what? And gave Himself for me. Even through the cross comes streaming forth out of the dark night of Calvary the light of God's wondrous, eternal, redeeming love to the saints. And that truth coming to the soul and delivering it from the darkness. You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So, this light affects everything. It affects what we understand. It affects our discernment. It affects our knowledge. That one of the aspects of light, even among men, of course, is knowledge, illumination to what is correct and true. So in the vital and eternal sense, we have the light that streams forth from Christ that comes to us. He has to give us understanding. He has to enable us to behold His truth, His Word. It's not how intellectually astute we are, is it? It's not how much we have gained as far as educationally. We have, as Joe mentioned, we have quite a range of education in this congregation. We have professionals, we have laborers, we have all kinds of different people. But the professionals have no advantage spiritually over the laborer, because it's God and He alone who must make His truth known. He must make His Word understood to our hearts. It's He who must do that. And it's not by natural reasoning, isn't it? It's by the work of God's Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more you see of Him, the more you behold of Him, the more your heart is drawn out to Him, the more that light comes and as it were, expands the understanding of your soul. You have the capacity to see, to comprehend, to understand. Now, that's a blessing to me. When, as for instance, the message this morning, I had a little trepidation with that message. I shouldn't have, because I know we have some people who behold the truth, who love the Word, and who are able and capable of receiving it. But man, when I got in the Word and you started it eating it up, I wanted to just keep going with it. You know, I don't know much that encourages me more than that. See the truth of God working, His Word, His truth coming forth through the work of His Holy Spirit. This is a divine thing. This is God's truth. This is His work. This is the only way that it can be received and understood. And it's by God Himself teaching us. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. He has to teach us. If He doesn't teach us, we don't know it right. Is that right? I don't care how much you study. I don't care how much intellectually you are as far as your astuteness to be able to look at things objectively. I don't care what your intelligence quotients might be. Unless God teaches you, you can't see it. Unless God opens the heart, the understanding, and causes you to behold His Word, you can't see it. That's why throughout history God has used shoemakers, tinkers, all kinds of those. We would not have said, why, these are the elite and the educated. And yet God has made use of them more than He has oft times the educated. Just like John Owen. God uses the educated. Not many mighty, not many noble, but He does use the educated. I mean, it's just, the Apostle Paul was educated and highly educated, and yet God had to teach him the truth. Correct? It had to come to, I mean, he learned a whole lot, but didn't know the Word of God until that day on the way to Damascus. He didn't know the truth. He knew about the Scriptures. He knew what they claimed to be. He believed what they claimed to be, and yet He didn't know the one they spoke of. He didn't know the one the Scriptures revealed until that day on the way to Damascus. John Owen, highly educated. Thank God. God has those who are highly educated. We need them. We need those whom He gives a knowledge and a thorough knowledge of His Word that we can read and we can benefit from. But you know what John Owen said when he went to hear John Bunyan preach? John Bunyan, he didn't have much education, did he, Carolyn? 2 years. You ever read Pilgrim's Progress? There's never been a more spiritual work done outside the Scriptures. 2 years formal education. You know what John Owen said? He said, I would exchange all my learning to be able to preach like the tinker from Bedford. You see, God gives these gifts. This is His light. It's His truth. It comes from Him. It's not something we are able by nature in any way whatsoever to acquire. So when we open this blessed Word, what should our prayer be? Teach me. Open Thou mine understanding. Give me to behold thy truth. We don't come at it coldly, intellectually. We come with this open understanding, this openness to realize only, Lord, you can teach me. Only you can make thy truth known to me. It's not capable for me to understand it aright. I can understand the words. I can understand the history. I can even comprehend somewhat the doctrinal teaching. But I can't really know its meaning, its depth, unless it comes from you. We have to depend upon Him. Prayerfully, when we open this blessed book, to teach us His Word, to teach us His truth, to cause us to behold Him, the Lord who is our light and our salvation, the Lord of glory. What a wondrous, wondrous thing. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul in this passage, talking about the outliving of this life. You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What's he telling us to be? He's telling us to be children of light. You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He continues, you find the Apostle Paul continuing to tell you and me, be what you are. Be what you are. Outlive what you are. We don't outlive this life in order to gain this life, do we? We outlive this life because God by grace has granted and given us this life. We are to outlive it, but we are to be what we already are. You were sometimes darkness. God called us where? Out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is God's grace again. This is His work. So here the Apostle Paul says, ye are children of light. You were darkness. You are children of light. Walk as children of light. Be what you are. Be what you are in the Lord. Your state has changed. You were darkness. Now are you light in the Lord. Kind of same thing he taught us in Romans this morning, wasn't it? Now, of course, again, this is not a call to become light. It's a call to do what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You already have the light. You're already in the light. You already know the light. He's the light that enters into your soul. And therefore, in His light, you are light. In His light, you see light, as Psalm 36 teaches. And let your light so shine before men. That's kind of the same thing. Be what you are. You were sometime darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so all who truly are in Christ are light in the world. And having been regenerated unto faith in Christ are called children of light in Scripture. All who are in the state of nature as fallen sons and daughters of Adam are in a state of spiritual darkness. Is there a single fallen son or daughter of Adam in a state of spiritual light? No. All are in darkness. Even ye were sometimes darkness before you were in Christ. But now are you light in the Lord. That the Apostle Paul means by darkness a condition of sinful depravity, of sinful conduct and not just of intellectual ignorance becomes clear as in verse 11 where the apostle says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That is, have nothing in common. That's what this word fellowship means, having a commonality. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. All by nature are born into spiritual darkness because of sin. What a solemn thing. In the last chapter of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, we have this exhortation given, and it describes the state of men out apart from Christ. He says in Ephesians 4, 17 and 18, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. There's a darkness in the understanding of men. Does that mean you can't be religious? No. You can be incredibly religious without light, without the true light of life. That light that shone on the way to Damascus that day that the Apostle Paul came to cry out, "Lord, what wouldest thou have me to do?" The one whose name he despised before and hated before, and whose followers, those in the way, he wanted to stamp out before. Now he bows in submission to and recognizes him as Lord. And that light that shone brighter than the noonday sun was but a type, a picture of that light that shines in our heart, I do believe, don't you? And I believe that there was a light that he saw far brighter that came into his soul, not simply an external light that illumined the path before him or around him, but the light that came into him that day removed all the ignorance that had been there before and tied everything together he had read in Scripture before, because he believed the Scripture to be the Word of God just as much before he met Christ as after, didn't he? He defended it, as a matter of fact. But it was on that day when the light shone into his soul, as he writes in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined into our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The light came. He was before in the darkness, though he was incredibly religious. Matter of fact, you would have had a hard time looking around the nation Israel and found to find anyone any more religious than was he, any more zealous for the Jewish religion, as he calls it in Galatians chapter 1, than he. And yet, it was only then when the light entered into his soul, and from thereafter, he became the most zealous advocate of the truth of God's grace in Christ as any ever has been or shall be. So, all by nature are born into spiritual darkness, all because of sin. And only he who can say, "Let there be light," can cause the light to shine out of darkness and can bring the light into one soul. Only he can do that, and no one else. That light is, if I said what, that would throw you off, wouldn't it? If I said who, who is the light? That's rhetorical. You don't have to answer it. We know who the light is. He's the one who said, "I am the light." That's the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. That light is Christ, so that to be in the Lord is to be in the light. And that by the creative word of the gospel of Christ, made to quicken one to spiritual life. It is the means God uses, the preaching of the gospel, the light of God's truth going forth. So that the gospel is the beacon. The beacon that shines forth and shines to Christ and makes Him known and shines in the heart, so that we come to bow in submissive faith to the one who came to redeem us with His own blood, who loved us with an everlasting love, the one who took our sins, bore our sins in His own body on the tree, the one who is Lord of all. We come to recognize He's Lord of all of salvation, everything, all of it. And we bow to Him. So, the light is Christ. To be in the Lord is to be in the light, that by and through the instrumentality of the preaching of the gospel and of the gospel as revealed in the Word of God. For one to be in the light means to be or to have the light and the life of God in the soul. In thy light. In His light we see light, according to Psalm 36, verse 9. And this immediately opens the field of truth to the understanding of holiness. If we're going to be a reproof to the darkness, and listen, you live in a world of darkness, We live in a world of darkness. So that we live in the realm of two kingdoms spiritually. We live in the realm of God's kingdom. We are born of God. Therefore, we see the kingdom of God. What a wondrous thing, all, as it were, of this sudden, when one is begotten of God, they come to recognize and realize this realm of God's kingdom. That God is ruling, that God is sovereign, that He's over all things. He's King of kings. He's our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to recognize Him as our King. And yet we also have this kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness. The Lord Jesus did say that the adversary does have a kingdom, didn't he? And we have these two kingdoms, and they are antagonistic, the one to the other. Get out of the world! You look at all the pretty people in the world. You want to. They're Satan's children if they don't know Christ. What they say, what you do, will influence your heart and mind if you're taken up with them. Will it not? Will it? Yes. We come to learn of the truth, of the light, what life is all about in truth through Christ, by looking to Him, not to the world. And then when you live this light, when you walk as children of light, when you refuse to take part in the darkness, when the world has its darkness, and no, you don't want anything to do with that, because you don't want that which would distract you from walking in the light, from knowing the light, and from bearing the light in this world. When you walk as children of light, will it bring conflict with the darkness of the world? Yes, it will. The Lord Jesus said, if you were of the world, what would happen? The world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Isn't that amazing? Are you to hate in return? No. You're to love men. You're to care for them. Though you're not to partake of their evil deeds, though you're to walk as children of light, that doesn't mean that you're to be plucked out from among their midst, does it? No, because you would hardly be a testimony or a witness. So God puts you in the midst of this darkness to be a what? Light. Not too difficult, is it? There you are, right in the middle of the darkness. For what reason? To be a light. You are to be there in order to live out a life that is distinct. You know what's happening in our day is all this stuff that's taking place in churches, all these so-called worship services and that are based on entertainment and governed after the styles of the world and all this. The world doesn't see any difference. Then the people, they don't act any differently. They don't treat people any differently. They just like the world. What is that? Is that light or darkness? Darkness. We're to be different, but we're not to be removed from the world. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And you're to be that light. Not judgmentally, but you're to care that Christ be glorified in you and that others might, by the grace of God, come to know Him and see Him. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, the Apostle Paul, who knew a little bit about suffering in Philippi and left it and left a church there. And the church itself, knowing about suffering, is given unto you in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him but also to suffer for His sake. In Philippians 1:29, in Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16, he instructs, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, that's a big order, isn't it? Isn't it a huge order to do all things without murmurings and disputings? Do you know what we tend to do by nature more than anything else?
Murmur and dispute.
That's right. Murmur and dispute. That means, wait a minute, then that characterizes who? The world. Those who are in darkness, right? You're not to be like that. That's what he says. You're not to do that. Do all things without murmurings. And disputing, oh, I'm so tired of this. No, I want that. No, I want the other. Yeah. So does every other fallen son and daughter of Adam. And oh, if I don't get this, or oh, I don't get my way in that. It usually ends up in pity parties, doesn't it? Well, the Apostle Paul says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless. You know what? You know what happens if you dispute with somebody and you lose your temper? And what estimate are they going to have of you? How easy is it going to be to come then and say, you know, I care for your soul, I love you, and I've come to know the truth of God's grace. I want to tell you about it or something. I want to live out this life. If you dispute with them and you're angry with them and you're murmuring and you're complaining, they going to want to listen to you? No. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless. You know, we have in the flesh, there still dwells in the flesh sin. We still have a battle with it day by day. Some of us have various battles in various areas. Some have battles with lust in particular ways. Others may have battles in other areas. I have a battle with my temper. You wouldn't think that, would you? You think you're just mild-tempered, wouldn't you? No, that's, you know, I have to be careful about it. I have to pray about it, because you know, the Lord has to control our temper, doesn't He? He has to control our desires and our thoughts. We have to bring them to Him and look to Him. So we have to be very careful about that. You know, an intense personality, maybe not one mild-mannered like me, would have a problem with that. But do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. Wasn't it a bad thing when the world has to rebuke you? I always wonder about, you know, Abraham, when he tells Abimelech, hey, Sarah's my sister. You know, he's my sister. And Abimelech ends up reproving Abraham. So we have to be careful about that. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Boy, that is something. It's going the wrong way. That's what it means. It's going the opposite way in which it should go. The world is going one way and you're going the other way, and that inevitably brings a what? I mean, if you have two airplanes and the controller is saying, we're here and we've got two planes coming in. We got plane A coming in on runway number 3 at the west end. We got plane B coming at the runway number 3 on the east end. And here they come together. Be careful, boys. What's going to happen? They're going to run right into each other. That's what happens in the world, isn't it? It's crash. It's going to crash. There's going to be this conflict that comes because of a crash. Because the world's going the wrong way. You were going the wrong way. You were sometimes darkness. But now are you light in the Lord? You were going the same way. Now you turn around, you're going the other way, but they're still coming this way. That can mean that you're going to suffer from the world. And yet, if you're going to walk with Christ, if you're going to be a light in the world, you're going to have to love them. You're going to have to care about their souls. You're going to have to know that but for the grace of God, what? There go I. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among you whom ye shine as lights in the world. The only way you shine as a light in the world is live the life of Christ. His life lived through you. He being in your sight, you're following Him. And He says, holding forth the word of life. That's the gospel. That's the glorious gospel of God. Holding forth the word of life. That's our responsibility. And if you live unto Christ and follow Him and you hold forth the word of life, you'll reprove the darkness. But it also may be that God would be pleased to lift the darkness for some and bring them to be what they weren't before. Light in the Lord.